Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Yes, you are, and I am Puma. We are so glad that you're here.
We are so glad you guys are back.
Yeah, no, this is it's great. We were just talking about how much we just really enjoy doing this and doing this together, and just a lot of fun. So we're glad that you joined us today. We are in the midst of a series on who we are in Christ, true of us in Christ. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are things that are true of you and I the moment we trust Christ as Savior, that these are things that we possess because of Jesus. And so we've been going through those, and our key passage is Ephesians chapter 1. And I love how it starts in verse 3, you know, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every, how many?
All of it.
Everyone. Every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Wow.
Everything that is true of Jesus, the blessings that he possesses, are ours by association because we are in Christ.
Yeah. That is such a huge statement. What does that mean? You know, I mean, it sounds like a lot. It sounds like all of it, but what is that?
So everything that Christ has, everything that he gives is ours in Christ. It's amazing. So a lot of things are true of us because we're connected to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think these are worth exploring. I think it's worth a podcast series because really, I mean, we live out of what we are. What we really do. If we don't know what our identity is.
Right. And that really is, that word identity is really, I think, a key one today in our world, in our culture, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, everyone trying to figure out, who am I? What am I? Whose am I?
Yes.
What's my identity? Because if I don't know who or what I am, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what my purpose, my value is. I'm trying to, and I make decisions based upon that, trying to get people to like me or appreciate me or even look my way.
Yeah. And our identity even helps shift our lifestyle toward different groups. If we think we are something, we gravitate toward different things. If I think that I'm, I don't know, a Jedi, I'm going to go to the Star Wars conventions. I'm going to find other, you know, people online. We live out of what we believe we are.
So what would be your like Jedi name?
Oh man. I don't know.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Maybe Feldo. I'm going to go.
Feldo. Yeah. That's
sounds more like a Middle Earth name, but.
Right. Feldo. Yeah. Yeah. He went down to Order 66.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Well, I say that to say, because I was online, apparently different religions, there is a Jedi sect in America. There are several thousand people who believe they are Jedis and they're on the not dark side. I'm like, what? But because of that, they have these conventions and thousands of people show up because they believe they are gifted in the Force, and there's a bit of mysticism in that. I was just so surprised, like, wow, if you really think you're a Jedi, why would you not go to these conventions and find other people in your group?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd like to go just to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, just to see.
When you place the identity on yourself, it shapes your friends, it shapes what you read, it shapes everything. And as Christians, right? So, I mean, why do this whole podcast series on our identity? It is literally everything about our faith. Knowing whose we are. I used to think, know who you are in Christ, which is true. But knowing whose you are, that we belong to the God of the cosmic world, we belong to Almighty Yahweh, that shapes how I live.
Oh, it's true. And we started, you know, one of our first podcasts in the series, you know, looking at Jesus, you know, his identity. I mean, that was even true for Jesus. He had to live out of who he saw himself to be, who he was.
That's right.
You know, so at his baptism, the Father said, you know, you are my son, so whom I love, with you I am well pleased, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the Father really affirmed, you know, Jesus's identity, and Jesus, you know, lived that. That's why Satan attacked that very core belief in the wilderness. Are you really the Son of God?
Yeah.
You know, so our identity is always going to be under attack, and people are going to try to create an identity for us, what they want us, shape us in their own image and what they want. And so we want to explore another one of the amazing truths that are true of us in Christ. And it really happens at the moment of salvation today.
Yeah.
And it's tied to forgiveness, but it's kind of a little nuanced connected to forgiveness. One that maybe you really haven't thought about much in your life, but something that whether you've thought about it or not is still true of you.
Yeah.
So should we go there,
Tori? Let's go there.
Let's go there. All right.
All right, Puma. So, what is the word, this biblical truth that is true about God's children? What is it?
Well, it comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, which says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." This word condemnation.
Yeah, condemnation.
Yeah, when's the last time, you know, you used condemnation in a sentence?
Wow. Well, I remember the last time I read it. It was, I mean, oddly enough. So my wife and I, Emily, we have a home now. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. We have our own home. It was a year and a half process.
Wow.
But because of that, we saw, oh man, I'm going to guess 30-ish, I don't know, give or take, a few houses. We had went through three realtors. It was kind of a whole big deal. All that to say, we're looking at some houses, and because of our price range, they're not super like high-end houses, which is totally okay. But I remember we were going with one of our realtors to a house, and the house next to it said condemned. And I'm like, oh, you know, they had the big like boards on the door, and the windows were kind of broken in and had this like white sheets kind of over it. And I just thought, I'm like, even if we were looking at that house, if it's a condemned house, I don't want to go to a house that is condemned. And I just remember very distinctly, like, I'm going to avoid condemned things.
Right.
It's usually a good idea to avoid that which is condemned.
Right. You avoid things that are condemned. Yeah. You drive, especially in like larger cities, and really even, you know, here where we live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, we had the derecho almost 4.5 years ago now, in 2020.
Fall,
August of 2020. And because of the derecho, it seemed like every business, every home in Cedar Rapids was damaged by the storm. And all you saw was tarps on every roof and everything. But there's so many buildings, even still from that time, that are dilapidated, that are run down, that need to be torn down. And many, many have been, and there's still others that just have not been repaired, that they're almost beyond repair and need to be torn down. Basically, many of these buildings over the last 4 years have been put in that category of being condemned.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. There are some around the city here that are condemned, but are still standing. When you think of a crook, a robber, someone that's broken law.
Sure, guilty. Right?
You know, they're guilty. Basically, to be condemned means the verdict is in, judgment has been cast, and you have been declared condemned. And so you are just awaiting the execution of the punishment.
Yeah, there's an action invoked when something is condemned.
Yeah, so we have these buildings around town, and the city has declared that they are not worthy of being repaired, that they need to be torn down. And so they put a sign on it saying this building is condemned, which means the verdict has been cast, it is unfit, a judgment has been rendered, and the building is just waiting for the execution of the punishment, right? The execution meaning when the big wrecking ball comes and the bulldozer and they level it to the ground. See, that is the actual, in a sense, punishment or the actual execution of the condemnation that's been put on the building.
Yeah.
Right? So let's take that not from a building standpoint, but to you and I, right? So Romans 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, we're talking about things that are true of us in Christ. And one of the things the Bible says is true is that you and I are no longer condemned. So what does that assume?
That we are condemned worthy, that we're guilty.
Okay.
That there is something about us, something that we've done that is worthy of condemnation.
Condemnation, yeah. And so if condemnation, to be condemned, means that the verdict has been cast, judgment has been rendered, what would that be for you and I? If we are condemned, what is the verdict that has been, you know, cast upon us? What is the judgment upon us that would declare that we are condemned? I mean, what is that?
Yeah, sin. You know, I mean, with a holy, just, pure, perfect God, people stand condemned because we are not. Sin mars us. We are both by nature and by choice. We have engaged. We have practiced. We are knee deep in sin. And to a holy God, sin has to be punished. We are condemned. Our sins condemn us. The wages of sin is death, right? Our consequences of being sinful have condemned us.
Okay. No, that's good. Yeah. So if we, you know, we are condemned because of our sin, then what is the actual punishment then?
Eternal separation.
Eternal separation from God. Eternal damnation, right? For all eternity. That is the punishment for those who are condemned.
Yeah.
And so when Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
No condemnation. So I am condemned in Christ. I'm not condemned.
I am condemned because of my sin. In Christ, I've gone from the being condemned, awaiting the execution of the just judgment of eternal damnation.
Yeah.
I haven't experienced that yet, but in Christ, I go from being condemned, awaiting the execution of that, to the non-condemned category.
Yeah. Well, I love how Paul, you know, even says, he's like, yeah, there is no condemnation. Like, God's not removing 99% of it. Like, there's 1% of condemnation for you, but 99% you're good, right? Like, there's nothing. You know, if there's nothing we could have done could remove our own stain, but in Christ, it changes everything. And I love how there's no wiggle room. Like, you know, there is now only a little bit of condemnation, or there is some condemnation, but there's nothing. There's no condemnation.
Yeah, we hear this in the world all the time. You know, Christians are just super judgmental and judgy, or God is just, you know, a judgy God.
Yeah.
He has all these, you know, standards. And I love what Jesus said in John chapter 3. You know, he talks about, you know, for God so loved us, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In other words, that eternal life, not eternal damnation, but eternal life is in Jesus.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says something really interesting. He says, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world.
Whoa.
He said, I didn't come into the world to cast a verdict and render the world guilty. He said, I didn't come in the world to do that, because the world stands condemned already.
Yeah, that's true.
He said, I don't have to come and render judgment. The judgment has already been cast.
Yeah.
The verdict is in. You are guilty. You are condemned. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn you or to judge you. I came to rescue you and save you from that. That's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to judge. And so people think that, oh, you know, Jesus is judgmental. Christianity is super judgmental. No, Christianity is about rescuing people from the verdict that's already been rendered, that we stand condemned before a holy God.
Yeah.
So Paul says, therefore, those who are in Christ are no longer condemned. Mm-hmm. That's Romans 8:1. Romans chapter 7, that's the whole do, I did, he do, I did, I
what
didn't
I don't
do,
want to I do, did, I do, do, do. But you know, what I do, but not that, do, I do.
I don't do, yeah. You know, and Paul's wrestling with this whole issue that he knows that he is guilty. And he knows that even though he wants to do right, that the law of sin in him, and he ends with, but praise be to Jesus who has rescued me from sin and death. See, it's all about who I am in Christ, about Jesus.
Yeah.
That you and I, because of our sin before a holy God, we are by nature and by choice condemned people before him. But the fact that we're still living is that we have not, you know, had that eternal, you know, death sentence executed yet. So we are just in this condemned category, waiting, you know, like a building waiting to be torn down.
Yeah.
But Jesus came as a rescue mission. He came to rescue those who are condemned. He didn't come to judge. He came to rescue the condemned.
Yeah.
Therefore, anyone who is in Christ, who has trusted Jesus as Savior, goes from being condemned to no longer being condemned.
Yeah. Oh, I this is such a critical idea to understand. You know, I love that no condemnation, it's freedom, it's forgiveness, it's mercy. It's grace, too, because we don't just not get our punishment, we actually get Jesus.
Right. I mean, there's so many things. And when we've talked about this too, when we talk about who we are in Christ, it's hard to piece out all the individual pieces, which is what we're kind of doing with this podcast, kind of the little nuances.
Yeah.
But you put them all together and it creates this beautiful picture of the heart of our God expressed in Jesus toward you and I who are undeserving. And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It really is amazing.
Yeah. Well, and even when Emily and I were looking at houses, you know, I saw that condemned house sign. I'm like, I don't want to go there. And to think that we were spiritually, eternally condemned, and a holy God has every logical reason to avoid the condemned, and yet he chooses to go down to those who are unworthy, who are stained by sin, and rescue them. Pastor James last week had a great illustration I want to share with you guys that really helped me, I think. Not even about, it was more about mercy, but it kind of goes with this. So he, and again, I'll preface it with if you're like an interior designer, this will sound gross and this will not be what you would do. But just hear me out. Hear me out in the story, okay? So suppose God's house is like super duper white. White carpet, white rim, white doors, white, you know, TV, white ceiling fan, white walls, white everything. Purest white ever. Everything is white except on the outside. It is a muddy, trenchy ravine full of nasty, gross mud water. And in God's house, you have to be white. In God's house, you have to be clean. There can't be any nastiness on you. And in this analogy, Pastor James, he said, you, like me, are condemned. We want to get to heaven. We crawl up the nasty, muddy ravine. Some don't sin as much. Maybe they just have, you know, mud up to their knees. Some of us have fallen down the hill and are covered and drenched. Some of us are covered in mud. Some of us have a little bit of mud. But we all want to go into heaven. And we get to the door in this pure white, you know, walled carpet home, beautiful. And God, the Father's like, hey, I can't let you in because you're covered in mud. You are like, well, I'm only covered up to my knees, Lord. Like, you can let me in. And no, like the other guy, he's so muddy. His hair's got mud clots in it.
And mud's in his teeth.
Yeah, it's every crevice there is mud. And God, the Father's like, I'm sorry. No, in my house, you have to be pure. And then Jesus comes through, hey, Father God, this is my kid. And not only, I don't care how much or how little mud, he's got mud in Christ, he's pure. I'm going to give him my white robes. I'm going to shower him with my purity. And not only just shower him and clean him, I'm going to allow him, I'm not going to condemn him for his mud. I'm going to give him my righteousness. He can enter my family. There's actually a door in a room with his name on it because he is my child. And I love how God the Father has every logical reason to be like, no, they're full of mud. My house has to be clean. But Jesus chose to redeem the condemned. And he gives us his righteousness. And I this whole idea of being, you know, not condemned when we are condemned worthy, God has every right to send us away. And yet the beauty of being his kid is that we are no longer condemned. We used to be, but we aren't anymore because of Jesus. And so for you and me, Puma, like we were the dirty, muddy, still do dirty, muddy things, but we're no longer condemned in Christ. And that is our identity.
Well, and that leads to probably a question maybe some might have. Well, if I was condemned and now I'm not condemned, can I be re-condemned?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Can I be condemned again? Because obviously I sin still.
Yeah,
I mean, I've trusted Jesus, but I still sin, and this is part of what Paul's getting at, I think, in Romans. You know, Romans 7, he's talking about the law of sin that is at work and at war in his soul with the law of Christ and the truth of the gospel and that struggle that he has.
Yeah.
And then as he describes this struggle going back and forth, he's like, is there any hope for me? You know, almost the same kind of question that you and I do, because if we're honest, oftentimes we don't feel super clean.
Yeah, we feel pretty dirty.
And it's like, how can I say I love God? How can I say I follow Jesus, and yet I do some of these things that I fall into sin and temptation again?
Yeah. I fell down the muddy hill again.
Yeah,
by my choice.
And you know, not that I want to go there and stay there. I want to always come back, you know, to Jesus and always, you know, repent and confess that. But do I fall back into condemnation? Does God look at me with the condemning eye, right? That judgmental eye. And this is what Paul is addressing in Romans 7 and getting in chapter 8, because he goes through all that in chapter 7 and the struggle that he has, which I think is a struggle that we all experience. And then he says in 8 verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What's interesting is the language there, the way that's described, it's talking about something that happens in the past, that I am taken from the condemned category to the not condemned category. That's an action that God does on us, to us in the past, that continues in the present with no end. It's an action that starts with no end, right? So
it's a permanency.
It's a permanency. So, you know, if I said, you know, I am married, well, that's something that happened in the past action. There's a moment, and that is a continuation to the present in the future. There's no apparent end to that. That's just the state of who I am.
Right.
And so this is what he's talking about, that we have gone from the condemned to the not condemned category. It's an action that happened the moment we trusted Christ as Savior with no end. It's not going
to
end.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. How blessed are we to be able to receive that? I mean, it sounds simple to say, no condemnation, but there are people who will live forever in that condemnation.
Right. Or we think that, wow, I'm going back into that condemnation category, not because I want to be there, because God's putting me there.
Right.
But he doesn't.
Yeah, God's not saving, 4% of condemnation for you just because of our choices.
See, this goes back to the heart and nature of who God is. Mm. And we think that, wow, God is a temperamental God, or he fluctuates and based upon me, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, it's not about me. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we deserve to go from the condemned to the not condemned category? No, we don't deserve that.
Yeah.
We never did. We never will. Mm-hmm. So why are we no longer condemned? Mm. Because of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's Jesus and me. It's not me and me.
Yeah, it's the heart of our Savior. It is the love of Christ that frees us.
Yeah.
And that's worth wrestling. That's worth soaking, marinating in that truth. Because a lot of things in this world will tell you, you're only worthy if you do this. If you're only good enough for God to love you, if you, tithe, if you volunteer, or maybe it's not even spiritual. You just have to be a good person and you will have less condemnation. But according to God's word, no, in Christ, man on the cross, regardless of your history, regardless of your sin, in Christ, being my kid makes you pure. You are no longer condemned. Yep. That's awesome.
And this is just one of many things that are true of us because of Jesus, that we've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And today, that one of the blessings we want to highlight is that we are no longer condemned in Christ. Yeah. So, Tori, what would be some good application, a good AQ, for this? We've kind of teased some of that as we've kind of gone along here, in this podcast. Mm-hmm. But, what are some of the practical things of how we should think about ourselves, how we should view people?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of, I'm myself included. It's so easy for me, I think for other Christians, to feel condemned because we often live in our feelings. Unfortunately, our culture kind of highlights that. But our faith, our belief in God's word needs to triumph over what we feel. So I guess the AQ question, when your feelings, not if, but when your feelings condemn you, will you choose to believe this biblical truth? In Christ, your identity is forgiven. You are no longer condemned. Are you going to believe that? Or are you going to let your feelings dictate? Are you going to kind of be moody, depressed, hate yourself, doubt the power of the cross, and actually not respond in gratitude? And then kind of like forgiveness, I think a lot of people live condemned. We talk like we're just losers, like I'll never measure up.
Right. And we feel that way because if we truly are in Christ, we feel that spiritual battle, that pull that Paul describes, that war in our heart and our soul of what we want to do, we don't do, we don't want to do, we do. And it's like, God certainly must hate me. He must throw me back into that category.
Like God's saving some wrath for me because I don't feel righteous. And so I guess my challenge, my question for myself, for you, when you feel condemned, when you feel like your sin is more powerful than the mercy of God, are you going to choose to believe this is who God says I am, and I'm not going to tell anyone or maybe myself different? And you get to pick that, right? We can't change and say how we feel, but we can choose what we focus on. And so if and when your thoughts, when my thoughts, we feel condemned, are we going to believe in Christ, there's no condemnation for me?
Right. Are we going to believe what God says is true of me?
Yes.
Am I going to believe God or am I going to believe my feelings?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. And maybe you're honestly right in this moment going through that. Maybe you currently I feel pretty condemned right now. Let Puma and I encourage you. If you're God's kid, he's got nothing but everlasting love and mercy and grace for you. And that is not contingent upon you, it's contingent upon him. And that's amazing. Some of that pressure, don't let Satan get in your head and tell you that you're not worthy of love, that you're not worthy of the cross, that your sin overrides the power of Jesus. Because that's not true. And that's something that I think that a lot of us feel, because that's what Satan wants to remind us of. He wants us to think our identity is in what we do, not in whose we are. So yeah, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Your feelings over God's word. You are no longer condemned in Christ. Be thankful, be humble, and praise him for that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we are so glad that you joined us today.
Yeah.
And we just really appreciate you know, those that send encouragement, and hopefully this would encourage you and to hold on to Jesus and to the desire to know, love, and follow him faithfully. Mm.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, guys. And if you have any questions or comments, as always, please feel free to email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time, Fridays at 10:10. Till then, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.